The Lindy's Football Report. This is the Lindy's Football Report with Graham Dunn, Michael Butler, and Lynn Scarborough. College football in depth and complete in 30 minutes. The Lindy's Football Report is brought to you by U.S. Farm-Raised Catfish and Academy Sports and Outdoors.
Huskies will rush three. There's a snap to Bo Nix. He drops back to the 50. He steps up in the pocket. He's going to heave it downfield. It's incomplete. It falls incomplete. And purple jerseys spill onto the field at Autzen Stadium. The Huskies have upset the sixth-ranked Oregon Ducks.
Crowd here stunned at the moment. Here's the play. Back to throw. Thompson Robinson steps up. Gets away from a sack. Looking to run. Fires the pass towards the back of the end zone. Incomplete! And the Cats have won at the Rose Bowl!
Woo!
Honestly, it wasn't a matter of if, but when. That is, when would the contenders in the Pac-12 become pretenders? In this case, it was November 12th. When both Oregon and UCLA were eliminated from any discussion regarding the college football playoff. Thanks to the Huskers Network, as well as the Arizona Wildcats Radio Network for the calls. As of now, USC is the last remaining hope for the Pac-12 to get into the playoffs, and they'll probably need some help to make it happen.
Maybe. We had two teams go down. Others will. Status quo is never the same every week. It's always an upset or two. And I expect there'll be a few more. The question is, which teams with one loss might get in? The thing is, the weeks are running out, Graham. We're getting down to the end of it. We keep saying things are going to happen. They continue to unfold, but the weeks are running out.
This week, next week, and then championship week. The new college football playoff poll had a little change with Georgia at number one. And 2, 3, 4, and 5, all staying the same. Oregon's loss sent them to the second 10, but an interesting development has Tennessee and LSU behind one another. That sets up an interesting scenario with the Vols having the win over the Tigers, but if LSU wins the SEC championship?
I still am sticking with what I think. I believe if they're a two-loss champion, that they'll slide in there somewhere. That means some other pieces could fall, as I just mentioned, but you do look at that Tennessee game. They lost at home by 27 points. Tennessee will be upset with that if that's the case and it keeps them out. Can you imagine two or three teams from the SEC? But it's tough to leave the SEC champion out. And if LSU wins out, they would be that. They would beat Georgia, which is the number one team. Tennessee couldn't do that.
Exactly. And, of course, LSU clinching the West after a hard-fought win over Arkansas. And then while flying home to Baton Rouge, watches Alabama eliminate Ole Miss from contention. So it'll be the fifth time Georgia and LSU meet in the title game. That's in a couple of weeks. That's second only to Alabama and Florida. No doubt the Bulldogs will be the decided favorite, but Chris Lee of the website Southeastern14.com says the Tigers have come a long way from that opening season loss to Florida State.
I think it's been a crazy ride. I mean, you go back to opening night, and they can't execute a simple kick play, and special teams have been a nightmare for them all year. And you've got people after week one asking, is Brian Kelly the right guy for the job, which is absurd. And then you go back, 6 weeks or whatever it's been, and Tennessee just puts it on them in Baton Rouge. They've run the table ever since. Obviously, beating Alabama was huge. I don't think anybody's surprised that Brian Kelly has got LSU back to the conversation we need. I still think that LSU, I don't think I see them as an elite team like I see Tennessee and Michigan and Ohio State and Georgia, but given how much needed to be changed, I think, in terms of discipline and culture at LSU and just all that put together to get here, I think he's done a phenomenal job.
LSU's got UAB this week. There's going to be a debate, I think. Brian Kelly versus Josh Heupel for SEC Coach of the Year.
I think they're National Coach of the Year candidates as well. There are a lot of them. Add those two to the list. This is a team, LSU, that was picked near the rock bottom of the SEC West. You remember how decimated they were with the transfer portal coming in? He made some things happen. They're in the SEC championship game, and they're in the thick of the playoff hunt. I know that the chances of them winning it might seem slim to some. Remember last week I picked on TCU a little bit, 3.8%. It's gone up a little bit, by the way, since they won last week. LSU's chances with the FBI of winning out, 9.5%. Chance of making the playoff, 5%. Now, think about that for a second.
You're giving me a headache, by the way.
What it means is this FBI committee, whoever they are, not to be confused with the playoff committee, think that LSU's chances of winning out are greater than making the playoff, which means they think they won't get in as a two-loss team.
Because it's never happened.
I don't know who those folks are, but that's what they think.
They're going on history. I think that's what it is. Now, last BCS champion to have two losses was?
LSU, but it was before the CFP era.
This is true. We mentioned it earlier, Southern Cal, the only team for the Pac-12 that still has a shot at a berth in the CFP. The Trojans ranked seventh this week, face their arch rival UCLA in the Rose Bowl. The game sold out, which says something about where these two are at the moment and where they've been in the past few years. Barry Allen of Fox Sports has been on hand in some of those lean times between these two. Glad to see the game matter again.
That's a city bragging rights thing, and that's, you know, they try to recruit those kids from California really hard. And, you know, they're right across town, still could take you an hour to get there, depending on traffic. If USC can win Saturday and then beat Notre Dame, you know, they're 11-1, and they'll play in the Pac-12 championship game. They could have a viable say in the playoff, trying to get in, be that fourth team to get in. The USC-UCLA game and the Washington-Oregon game are probably the two most intense games in the Pac-12.
I hate to play the what-if game, but if UCLA had won that game last week, this would be one of those epic moments in this series.
Yes.
Nope.
They couldn't do it, could
couldn't
they?
Couldn't do it.
Yeah, I'm glad it's sold out at least, even with the tarps. It's about 70. It's about 25% less than what it is when it's a full Rose Bowl. First time we've had these two both ranked since 2014 playing against each other, and there's still a lot on the line for both, especially USC. And I think USC, ranked right now seventh in the playoff poll, has a shot. You're a Pac-12 Power 5 champion if you are a one-loss team. They've got all these things going for them. They're USC. It's a brand. They have the tradition, that high-profile program. They have a coach, been to the playoff before. They have a quarterback that is, I guess, a Heisman candidate. They got these things in their favor, and the committee does not really look at that, supposedly. But I think it's in the psyche.
We'll probably play this game more next week than we will this week if USC wins over UCLA. But next week, we're going to have that conversation. Does the Pac-12 deserve a spot? They hadn't been in it and all that sort of thing. Let's see who wins this game first. TCU continues to be one of the top four teams. Just passed the test on the road at Texas last week. Now the Horned Frogs need to do it on the road again. Did I just hear Willie Nelson? This time at Baylor, which has dealt with an up-and-down season. After winning three straight, the Bears lost to Kansas State last week. But TCU coach Sonny Dykes has kept his team on point all season, and he expects to do the same thing again this week.
Sometimes this time of year, I mean, look, there's been times in my coaching career that, you know, I've stayed up all night, Sunday night, trying to think of ways to motivate the team. You know what I'm saying? What can we tell them this week that may or may not be true, that's going to invoke and inspire the guys to practice hard and to prepare well and to, you know, give it their best effort. And, you know, we just haven't had to do that this year. You know, they just like to practice and they like to play. And so I think they view this game as a chance to go win a ball game, just like they viewed every one of them up to this point. And there is stuff out there. There's, you know, all that stuff at the end, but I do really believe that the guys have embraced that, let's just worry about one practice at a time attitude. And we talk about it all the time. It served us well. Why would we change?
You can take what you want from press conferences, coaches' press conferences, but I like the way Sonny Dykes is handling this. He's not blowing everything out of proportion. It's the next game, and I know that's cliche, but I really believe it when he says those type things.
Yeah, he's doing all the right things, pushing all the right buttons. His team is responding, and they're ready to play, as he just said, and they've proven it. It's tough when you got the bullseye on your back, and they've had it, and they have somehow made their way through it. This was another one of those teams picked near the bottom of their league. And, you know, they remind me a little bit of maybe going in. They're the Cinderella, Cincinnati-type team from last year, although they do have the Power 5 label. although I do believe that might be the weakest Power 5 this year. The Big 12 has had some flops, and TCU's taken advantage of that.
I think you're right. Well, we're a week away from the epic showdown between Ohio State and Michigan, but both teams have one more test in the Big Ten prior to what is known as the game. For the Buckeyes, it's a trip to Maryland, a team they've never lost to in seven games. Michigan will be at home to face upstart Illinois and second-year coach Brett Bielema, who is still in contention for the Western Division title. But Bielema isn't talking about those things. He's talking about playing in the Big House.
If you love college football, which is why you're in this room, you're going to love Saturday, right? Get ready to be in one of the greatest home game environments to start the game. They're going to be all excited. One of the greatest things you can do is have the power to control your own destiny and play the way you need to play. So there's a lot of great venues in this conference. In my office, I have on one wall is Indy in the middle, surrounded by every stadium that we play in, because in recruiting, I talk about that, right? Like, if we're recruiting a kid that we're recruiting a kid to Michigan, I'll say, hey, listen, come here, play for me, and I'll take you there twice, two or three times, right? I'll pay for the plane ticket, I'll give you dinner, and let you play football with my uniform, right? And I use the other team's stadiums as a selling point. I know Iowa as good as anybody. I know Wisconsin as good as anybody. I've been able to have success, I think, in everybody's stadium. We actually won when I was a coordinator against Ohio State. There's a lot of great venues that if you play in this conference, that's a byproduct of those results.
An interesting way of doing things as far as recruiting. Yeah, I do too. I want to throw this in there. I've heard this on several different shows. I haven't verified because it would take forever. 256 possible scenarios regarding the West Division in the Big Ten. That's five teams. Is that not crazy?
Well, when I was listening earlier this year that Nebraska was still in the mix somehow or leading, you know, as they were very early in the year, it's like, okay, I get it. You know, I go back to the great 2006 game of the century, Ohio State and Michigan, both teams coming in undefeated. What a shootout it was. Ohio State winning to reach the championship game. Wait a minute. They don't play until next week. I'm going to save that for next week. That's the thing we get into. We start talking about all this. And the talk is, what if one of those teams loses that game? What if they lose this game, though? And this is what is an elimination game for a team like Michigan.
Sure.
I think even though Illinois is good, and Brett Bielema deserves the credit because they were another team that was not picked to do anything that has had a really good season. But it would, I think, sink their chances of being that team that loses the game, Ohio State, Michigan, and getting in, even though you couldn't do what we talked about, where there could be two. And there could be two. And that's what we're talking about with a lot of these different conferences that have undefeated teams still in the running.
Exactly. And one more thing. The tragic events of this week are a reminder of the frailties of life. Last weekend, tragedy at the University of Virginia gave us a moment to pause and remember the three young men whose lives were taken from their families and teammates and friends with a senseless shooting. Of all places, on a team bus returning from a field trip, there were a total of five students that were shot. All of college football should take a moment and reflect on the joy each of us have in being a part of this sport, but also be reminded of the difficulties that can be wrought anywhere at any time. There are those who will spend their time on searching for reasons why this happened, but this is something that transcends football. This time is for reflection on the three young men whose lives were taken way too early. The school announced on Wednesday that the game schedule for Coastal Carolina has been canceled for teammates Lavelle Davis Jr., Devin Chandler, and Deshaun Perry. It's time to mourn, not play football. From all of us at the Lindy's Football Report, we express our deepest sympathies. All of you are in our prayers. For this week's U.S. Farm Raised Catfish Catch of the Week, we visit Lexington, Kentucky, where the Vanderbilt Commodores ended a 26-game losing streak on this 8-yard pass from Mike Wright to Will Shepard in the final seconds to beat the Kentucky Wildcats. Andrew Allegretta has the call on the Vandy Sports Network.
Shotgun for Mike Wright. He takes the snap. He looks. He throws the slant. End zone. Did he get it? Will Shepard. He got it. An 8-yard strike. Mike Wright to Will Shepard. His ninth of the season. Vandy leads 32 seconds to go. 23-21.
Remember, for the tailgate tent or the pregame party, U.S. Farm Raised Catfish is always the winning catch. For more, Visit uscatfish.com.
This is the Lindy's Football Report.
It's the season of savings at Academy Sports and Outdoors. Right now, score great prices on everything you need for outdoor cooking, camping, hunting, tailgating, and holiday gatherings. Plus, get the latest apparel and shoes from brands like Nike, Adidas, The North Face, and Under Armour. Shop your local store or enjoy easy two-hour in-store pickup on Academy.com orders. Now it's a great time to gear up for Christmas and save on all the gifts that get more fun. Shop the season of savings at Academy Sports and Outdoors.
Saturdays are all about college football. Your tailgate matters too. Make it great with U.S. farm-raised catfish. Catch up on all the great recipes by visiting our website. Check out our videos and learn about how U.S. farm-raised catfish makes every Saturday exceptional, no matter the outcome of the biggest games. As always, it's fresh from our ponds to your plate. Remember, like we say every week, for the tailgate tent or the pregame party, U.S. farm-raised catfish is always the winning catch. Find out more. Visit uscatfish.com.
Lindy's, America's leader in providing great magazines and specialty publications covering the gamut of sports. For daily updates, check out lindysports.com with original content, including features, columns, and predictions. lindysports.com also features photo galleries, fantasy sports news, and up-to-the-minute items to keep you abreast of events from the ever-changing realm of sports. Lindy's, America's leading sports authority.
The Lindy's Football Report.
Are you hungry? Have a cupcake. Here's Michael Butler.
It's cupcake week. There are a few ranked-on-ranked matchups this weekend, but most of the top teams are feasting on sweets. Saturday's matchups, in many cases, are a prelude to season-end rivalries. Next week, we've got Michigan and Ohio State, Notre Dame and USC, the Egg Bowl, and the Iron Bowl. This week, it's UMass and Austin Peay. Don't knock it. It's part of the game. The Power Fives add another home date for the season ticket holders, while the Cupcakes receive payment for a beatdown. Usually. Now, Appalachian State is not your ordinary cupcake, but they don't necessarily get home dates with the big boys either. Earlier this season, they had a one-off with Texas A&M. They left Kyle Field with a 17-14 victory and $1.5 million. Cupcake or not, that's what we call a win-win.
We bring in Lynn Scarborough from Lindy's and LindySports.com. Lynn, a lot of coaching changes are about to take place, but there's an interesting dynamic going on at Auburn. Cadillac Williams is the interim, and he is creating a lot of excitement there.
Yeah, he is, and I understand that. The Carnell was a great decision to have him as the interim coach. As the people in our audience know, I cover Auburn for Lindy's, and I've covered a lot of Auburn games over the year. The excitement level and just the atmosphere around the game with Texas A&M last week was different. It was more like the atmosphere of when Georgia or Alabama comes to Auburn. And he's really put a new element of excitement and spirit into the guys that carries over. You can see it in the fan base. You can see it around what's happening. I think it was a great decision. This conversation about whether or not Carnell should be the head coach. And I don't mean this ugly toward him at all. I'm a fan of him. I know him personally, and he's a great choice. But I don't know if someone who's not have any full-time head coaching experience, if they come in to a place like Auburn or other traditional powers around the country. Carnell's done a wonderful job. And I think whoever, if it's not Carnell, I think whoever is the new head coach there would be well advised to continue having Carnell on that staff, as well as maybe some other of the guys that are on that staff that seem to be helping to pull them together.
On Tuesday, the newest college football playoff poll came out. No real changes, although it looks like we're setting up for a very interesting last couple of weeks.
Yeah, I think so. I still think Tennessee probably has the best shot, with all due respect to South Carolina and Vanderbilt. It'll take a real upset for Tennessee not to lose. So they'll be an undefeated 11-1 team with their only loss to the defending national champion. I think it's set up for the Ohio State-Michigan winner to be there. And then you're going to have likely a lot of one-loss teams. Texas Christian plays Baylor. Then they're going to have Iowa State in a championship game. They could lose one there. Southern Cal has one loss, but they've still got to play UCLA, Notre Dame in a championship game there. So you're going to have a number of teams. Clemson, North Carolina winner will probably just have one loss. And then you've got the LSU factor in there having two losses, but they could knock off Georgia to win the conference championship. So I think you're going to have a lot of discussion there. One good thing to look forward to, if you had an 8-team playoff, and for sure if you go to the 12-team playoff that you've been talking about, all this controversy is gone because every team that I've mentioned during this conversation right here would probably be in the playoff.
And then there's the bowl eligibility factor. The Southeastern Conference may or may not fill their number of automatic positions, but it's going to be an interesting 2 weeks to make that happen.
Yeah, with just 2 weeks left, you've got 9 teams that are already qualified. And only one, Texas A&M, that's not, which is kind of an irony there, since the wire service polls and Lindy's had them ranked in the top 10 as high as the top 5, and they may not win 5 games. So there's a real unusual thing there. You got 4 teams that are in limbo. Arkansas's got 5 wins. They got to beat either Ole Miss or Missouri, playing at Missouri. And then Missouri, Auburn, and Vanderbilt each have 4. Auburn would have to beat Western Kentucky and Alabama. I doubt that happens. Vanderbilt would have to beat Florida and Tennessee. I doubt that happens. I guess Missouri's got the best shot of that group. They play New Mexico State, and then they close with Arkansas, which would be a toss-up ball game. So I think the SEC probably ends up with 10 teams. And to be this close to the end and still have all but one team have a possibility is probably a pretty good situation to be in.
All right, let's run through our Saturday lineup rather quickly here. We'll start in the Big 12, TCU at Baylor.
I like TCU. They've got so much on the line here. Baylor had a rough time this past week, losing to Kansas State 31-3. You got to go with Texas Christian.
All right, they're playing in the Rose Bowl, Southern Cal and UCLA.
Because of UCLA's unexpected loss to a very mediocre Arizona team, they now are in the position as spoiler. They'd like nothing better than to knock Southern Cal off. Southern Cal has no leeway if they're going to be able to make the playoffs, so I got to go with Southern Cal to win that game.
You can say the same thing about Oregon, who was in position until last week. They play Utah this week.
Is Bo Nix okay? That's the key there. If it's a healthy Bo Nix, I think Oregon wins the game. If that late injury that he suffered against Washington is bad and impacts him, it goes either way. I'm going to go with Oregon, but a lot depends on the status of Bo Nix.
And let's move to the SEC. Arkansas taking on Ole Miss.
I'm going to go with Arkansas because it's a must-win for them, more or less. For them to have bowl eligibility, they've got to win one ball game. If they don't win this one, they have to go to Missouri. I like the home field advantage. And Arkansas winning to still keep their options open, and Ole Miss win, though, wouldn't be a surprise.
Can Vandy win 2 conference games in a row?
Can they or will they? I think can they? Yeah. I think probably they won't. Florida's a stronger team. They got more depth. But Vanderbilt is playing, coming off that win, the monkey is off their back of having that streak there. So it wouldn't surprise me for Vanderbilt to give them a good ball game.
And your upset special?
I'm going with Oklahoma State to beat Oklahoma. Oklahoma State is more than a touchdown underdog, and quite honestly, I don't understand how that line is, except for the fact that it's a home game for Oklahoma. So I'm going with Oklahoma State, the Cowboys, to knock off the Sooners.
This has been the Lindy's Football Report, brought to you by U.S. Farm-Raised Catfish and Academy Sports and Outdoors.